Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Song is a wonderful message, both of ourself, lost, darkness of sin, and the answer, the light of the world is Jesus. It also has another special meaning to me. A number of years ago, I was sick in the hospital, and there was no more messages ready. My wife, who is now gone for 2 years, went through the messages and listened to them, and picked out one that was from 1 Timothy, and this song was sung at the beginning of the message. The light of the world is Jesus. So it has special meaning as well as the first meaning. The light of the world is Jesus. Reading from Romans chapter 4 once again. We have been in this chapter quite some time. Last week, we went to different places in Scripture beside this. Today, we're looking a little bit more at the Scripture itself. Beginning at verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was also able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. As we think of the song that was sung last week, the love of God, how if it were penned, the ocean would come dry, to give the full meaning of what we just read. Let's give thanks for it, and let's pray that we'll have understanding of it, and that we will know the need of it being imputed to us, the righteousness of another, given for each one of us individually. We must have it. Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for every blessing given. We give thanks for all that is written in thy word, giving us the history of the world, giving us the story of creation, that in the beginning thou didst create the heavens and earth, that from which we have moved and believe instead in many places, theory instead of truth. And we pray that we might see the error of our way. And Father, we fear that if we do not recognize thee as creator, we will not recognize thee as sustainer or lawgiver, and then we will not know the need of a Redeemer, and we will not know in our darkness the great need of him who is the light of the world, thy Son, Jesus, thy eternal Son. We pray, Father, in his name, that we might now be able to understand these words as Abraham knew them, and that we might then, through thee, Lord Jesus, be a son with Abraham of thee, Father, that we are not only Abraham's children, but thy children through Christ and with Abraham and with others. We pray, Father, that we may see more of that blessing in our time, or may be reviving of the church, that what is left of the church may be revived to become again a salt and a light wherever it is. And we pray that we may repent before the candlestick is entirely removed, as thou didst warn one of the churches recorded in the book of Revelation, and as other churches there also were called to repent. We pray that we might see the need of it today in the church first, and then that we might call the rest of the nation, the rest of the world, both Jew and Gentile, to repentance and to faith and to obedience, and especially of faith that worketh by love, that it might again have an effect in the church, in our homes, and in the nation, and in the world. Instead of our nation being so torn as our homes have been torn, and we have heard when I was younger, Father, that as goes the home, so goes the nation. And we are seeing it sadly fulfilled in our time. The homes have been broken, and now the nation is broken, and literally at each other's throats. And we pray that thou wilt protect our president from the lies and from the evil forces that would destroy not just what they term evil, but even the best parts of his presidency, and the strongest parts wanting to protect the unborn, and many wanting to have the right to murder, the right to do wrong, and calling evil good and good evil. And we have come to such a place in our land, Father, reading of the Civil War, and somehow they feared it, and we need to fear the same. And we fear, Father, that there could be even things just as bad as the Civil War if the wrong ones get into government, the wrong ones into office, that the right ones would succumb to it, and without standing for the gospel, without standing for righteousness, would soon give in, as many in our government are doing, and many in our land are doing, lukewarm and weak. And we pray that once again we might be the onward Christian soldiers, marching us to war, with thy cross, Lord Jesus, going on before. Give us that, we pray, through this word and all of thy word. We give thanks for all of it. We also think of the temporal needs and blessings. We give thanks for the blessings that we have that others do not have. We are so blessed in this area, in nature, blessed with freedom that others do not have, to read thy word, to preach thy word, to believe thy word, to practice it. We pray, Father, for those who need thy healing hand in the body, for the elderly. We pray for the suffering now with the ravages of the virus. We hope that by the time, Father, this broadcast goes on the air, that it will be better. And we pray that there might soon be healing, if it could be thy will. We pray, Father, for learning through it, that as Paul writes following this fourth chapter, not only do we glory in these blessings that we have, but also we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience and patience experience. And we pray that thou wilt so work in our hearts that this time of this virus will be a time of returning to thee. We pray for our broken homes, the children in them. We pray for those that are homeless, those that have been suffering the ravages of the tornadoes, fires, wind, earthquake, war, persecution, the many calamities that are there. We pray for all of them that thou wilt be merciful to them through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. Looking once again at this message itself, we see Abraham spoken of throughout the Scripture. First, God taking him out of the early Chaldees, Genesis chapter 11, and then, Father, God speaking to him, recorded in Genesis chapter 12, especially that wonderful statement, in him or in his seed, all the nations of the earth or all the families of the earth would be blessed. That seed is Christ. As Paul says later, writing to the Galatians, to Abraham was the gospel preached. Sometimes people talk about what they call the Old Testament as the way of the law. Though the law was there and given to Israel very plainly, very much spoken of, but not only that, 430 years before the law was given, Paul says, to Abraham was the gospel preached. And that gospel is the coming of Christ. It is because of that that Paul can refer back to Abraham here. One would be born from him and Sarah. That would be the beginning of that seed and follow on through the generations. And once again, when we think of history, we can read from the time of Christ, from every generation, the name mentioned, back to Abraham. One of the Gospels give us that history, and one of the other Gospels give us the history back to Adam. So we have the generations from Adam to Christ, and from Abraham to Christ. Abraham believed in God who quickeneth the dead. Yes, we're dead to sin, blind, proud. Abraham believed in that God because he knew himself as ungodly. And when we're ungodly, we're dead in sin. We can read about that faith of Abraham earlier in this fourth chapter. How Abraham believed in him who justified the ungodly. It is this settling that God does, and Abraham knew it. He quickened Abraham and Sarah in their old age, so that Sarah, at 90 years old, could have a son, Abraham being 100. And now Paul is speaking about that setting, when he said, Abraham believed in God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And we'll refer to it a little bit later, when God first told Abraham and Sarah laughed, and God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Think of that statement. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I know God can give us revival. He can give us awakening. Whether he will or not, I don't know. Abraham believed the promises, and that is one of the things that is included when Paul refers to it, both here and also, especially, writing about it, about Abraham, what God said to him, giving him the gospel, giving him that wonderful promise, and then Paul writing, I believe, 8 times in that third chapter of Galatians, using the word promise, and many more times the word faith. Here we have the word believed. We read in verse 18 of this fourth chapter of Romans, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. As we've seen some of it in our past weeks, Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, God spoke to Abram long before he had a son. He would be the father of many nations. His name would be great. All through the generations that would come, that would be like the stars of the sky in multitude, like the sand of the sea, couldn't be counted. And Abraham, at 75, had no children. At 85, Sarah said, take my handmaid, have a child with her. And he did. That was Ishmael. Now, Paul referring at a later time, what God promised, and that was when he was here, as we read in verse 19, not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That was 13 years later than Ishmael, the son of Hagar, the handmaid, was born. Then God says, you will have a child by Sarah. Abram, his own body, now dead, yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What a blessing! What a blessing to have a promise from God! Oh, what a blessing! Do you have a promise from God? There are many promises in Scripture, but we don't always know they're ours. We can only know it by faith. We can only know it by the witness of the Spirit in the right way. We can give promises to ourselves. Many gave the promise that they were children of Abraham. But God said, no, this is not Abraham. You're not like that. To some of them, he even says, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Read that story in John chapter 8 of those who in the middle of that chapter are described as believing on Christ. And then Christ saying to those who are described as believing on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. And they didn't know they were bound by sin, those that had the word of God for those many years. Moses wrote about the beginning and many other things that God inspired him to write. And they are, as we said last week, the Scripture. The Scripture. The Scripture cannot be broken. The Scripture will continue on. Heaven and earth will pass away. Christ said, but my word will not pass away. Oh, be glad for it and be fearful, because that word is true if you don't believe it. It will all come to pass. Many will find it out too late on the day of judgment that the word was true and they were not given over to hardness of heart because they did not believe it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord, as God said to Sarah after she laughed when God said she was going to have a child. Here we read, Abraham believed in hope. A wonderful thing. Sometimes we think of hope not being as true as faith. We read in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The other two are faith and hope. And both of those are spoken of here. Not the word faith as much here as later when Paul wrote to the Galatians. But here we use the word believed. In verse 17, we read, he believed even God who quickeneth the dead. In verse 18, we read, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. To that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Spoken by God, and it came to pass. You know it in history. The Jews are there throughout the world, more than we can count. God, when he took Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, promised him the land for his seed. That was one promise. Not heaven for all of them, but the land. And we need to see the difference. And there's many that do not see the difference. They think the promises for the land are literally the same as for heaven. Those that were more numbered than the sand of the sea were promised the land. A remnant, a small amount of those, were saved. Isaiah wrote it. Paul repeated it in Romans 9. Though the number of Israel be as the sand of the sea for multitude, a remnant shall be saved. Are you in that remnant? Does the church teach that when we say we are the seed of Abraham? We need to be like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. There are some things that are true for Abraham that are equally true for us. But there are other things that are true for Abraham that are not for us. God doesn't say to us, we'll be the father of many nations. Many will be. Some are childless. Some believers aren't married. Some have few children. Some generations don't go on very much and very long. All of that is there. But we can be one with him. And believing, as the early part of the chapter stated, he believed in him who justified the ungodly. That must be true for everyone to be right with God. Everyone. Believe on him who justified the ungodly. And that means believing two things. One, I'm the ungodly one. God is the one that can justify such a sinner because of his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price on the cross, became a curse for us. Yes, we deserve the curse. He received the curse. As Paul said to the Galatians, Christ became a curse for us, Galatians chapter 3. That was like Abraham. And that's what we need with Abraham. There are other things that are for Abraham, but not for us. Not many people, not any that I know of, are like Abraham, have a child when they're 100 years old, or having a wife 90 years old and having children. But Abraham had that blessing. And we read of it in verse 20 of Romans 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. If we go back to chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Abraham gave glory to God. He was not only quickened that he was able to have a child, but he was quickened in the Spirit. That's why Christ could say of him when Christ was on earth much later, Abram saw my day and was glad. Have you been made glad because Christ came? Because God so loved the world of sinners that he gave his only begotten Son? Yes, only begotten Son. Everyone that does not believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, will perish, will continue in their perishing way. He that believeth not shall be damned. Christ said so. The Savior said so. The Lamb of God said so. Both great blessing, saved, terrible judgment, damned. One or the other. You and I are born under the way of being damned. He that believeth the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's how I was born. That's how I grew up. That's how I lived for a time. Probably had somewhat of a halfway house, which would compare to the shallow ground in the parable of the sower, thinking that I did something to be saved. Salvation is all by grace. As God called Abraham of the Ur of the Chaldees, he must call us in repentance. He must call us to faith, and he must give us faith, Christ being the object and the author as well. And Abraham knew that, so he believed the promise. Going on to verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, we read the word promise in verse 20. We read the word promise in verse 21, and then verse 22, we read, now therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. We read in the history of Abraham in Genesis, he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Exactly how we are to take all these things is a little bit hard to understand. Sometimes it's a righteousness in justification. Sometimes it's a righteousness in the way of sanctification, believing God and doing what God commanded us to do, as he did when God tried him and said to offer up his son Isaac. And he could offer him up because of what he believed here, who quickeneth the dead. And Paul tells us that later in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where he speaks of Abraham's faith in a wonderful way, telling us that, for one thing, Abraham had here no abiding city, but he looked for a city of whom God was the builder and the maker. He looked for a city which hath foundations. And then, later in that 11th chapter, we read, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And when he had received the promise, Abraham lived on the promise. He knew it would be true. He knew it would be fulfilled when God gave it to him. And like I said, what a wonderful thing if God gives us a promise that we know is for us. There are promises that are objective. There are promises for the Jews now. And hopefully, what was said by Jeremiah and Isaiah and others long, long ago will be fulfilled, possibly in our time or possibly later. But there are promises there. But they're not for you and me. They're promises for them. But they are promises of God that will be fulfilled. But there are then promises for us. If we have Christ, we will be blessed as being Abraham's seed, children of Abraham by faith, as Paul states in Galatians chapter 3, the last part of that chapter. And here we read, by faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And why could he do it? Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and from whence also he received him in a figure. Abram believed that if he killed Isaac, that God would raise him up, because he had the promise. Yes, the promise, and Isaac shall thy seed be called, could not be broken. Isaac could be dead on the altar. And he knew, as God had said before he and Sarah, when Sarah laughed, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Christ raised up Lazarus, says, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came out of the grave. A wonderful thing happened when Christ died. Yes, the moment he died, he with a loud voice gave up the ghost. And we read, the graves were opened, and many of the saints arose and appeared in the holy city after his resurrection. You can read of it in Matthew chapter, I believe, 28. The saints arose, many. We don't know how many, but they arose. And later, Peter raised Dorcas from the dead. Paul raised the young man who fell out of the window when Paul was long preaching, and the man fell asleep. Paul raised him from the dead, all by the power of God. So there's nothing impossible with God. And as we also read by the words of Christ, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And how we need to pray that that will take place.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.